Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, tonight we're going to move on to the second message in our household series. That's what we're calling it. And in a nutshell, what that series is about is really our pursuit of community, our pursuit of life change, and our pursuit of purpose. And that's all within the context of our community here at Living Waters. Last week, I had the opportunity to speak on faith, and tonight I'm going to be speaking on foundations. And we want to talk about foundations tonight because what we believe and what we stand on is ultimately what forms us as a community and sets our trajectory forward. And so whether or not you are have been a part of Living Waters for some time, or maybe you're brand new here, we think it's really important that we all come together at a night like this and find out where we're coming from as a church and what informs where we're going. And if you haven't sort of picked it up already, I'm pretty excited about where we're going. I just know the hand of the Lord is upon His church, and we're pretty pumped about this year coming up. So at the risk of using an overused metaphor, builders tell me that when you're building a house, a foundation is critical to the progress of the rest of the building. Like, it's really important. Now, let me just jump in there and tell you that I am so not a builder. Like, I really don't know one end of a hammer to another. You can just ask my wife. But I get this from expert opinions, you know, within our own community who are builders. See, the foundation first has to be properly laid out. The lines need to be straight, and every corner has to be accurate to the plan of what's going to be built upon the foundation later. And the smallest variance will increase as the building progresses. And if it's not caught in time, it makes a total mess of the structure above. How does this relate to our relationship with our Father in heaven? The beauty in our belief in the God of the ages is that He is perfect in all aspects. And the foundation that He has laid out for us to live our lives from is exactly right in its form and its fit. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living." Look, we can find no better place on which we can set the course of our lives than His foundation. Because He's perfect, we know that everything lines up right. All of the lines are straight. The layout is exactly as it should be. And there is right and proper trajectory for our lives. Well, builders will also tell you that the strongest foundations are made from just the right mix of materials. And strength is really important, because the foundation doesn't just direct the trajectory of the building, it also has to be able to hold the weight of the structure. It has to be built in a way that can withstand all the pressures and the shifting of the soil that it sits in. And it has to be able to hold firmly in place when the building is subjected to external pressures like water and wind and all of that kind of stuff. And when you look at our own lives and you consider the pressures that we face, and sometimes the more than regular storms that we are in, it's a good thing that our foundation in God is as solid as it gets. It's as solid as it gets. Psalm 18, verse 31 says, "For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? God arms me with strength, and He makes my ways perfect. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights." So the foundation of God not only sets us up in the right trajectory, it gives us the strength and it gives us the security that we need to make our way through what can be a pretty blustery life at times. He makes us sure-footed. And He takes us to high and sometimes risky places of faith. When He does that, we can be confident in that place because He is as solid as a rock. His foundation is resolute and it is absolutely unchanging. And we, as believers in Christ, are on that foundation. So tonight, in the time that I have, what I want to do is I want to zero in on four components of the God-made mix of our foundation. Four essentials, if you will, that we hold to as a Christian community called Living Waters. There are, of course, other elements to the foundation, but I've chosen these four because I believe that they best explain our shape and our way forward. None of them will surprise you. And while I can't spend a lot of time on each, I think that their restatement will help us as we consider our life together as this community called Living Waters, where God is calling us. And importantly, how we will navigate the inevitable storms that come any time that the kingdom advances and the name of Jesus is lifted high. So let me move on to essential number one. At Living Waters, we hold to the Word of God. We hold to the Word of God. In this community, we hold that the Scripture is the actual Word of God. That God Himself has breathed the words contained in the Bible. He's breathed them into existence through the writers that He has inspired. And because He wrote us a letter of sorts that reminds us of who He is, of how much He loves us and His best practices for us, that means that the Bible holds core truths of what we believe as a Christian community. You know, we really see the Bible as an astonishing document. There is nothing quite like it anywhere in the world, and it is a gift to every seeker, and it is a gift to every believer. It contains truth. It contains direction and comfort, encouragement, and it contains peace. And its journey and survivability in history is unparalleled. Because God's intention all the way along has been to reach our hearts and our minds and to transform our lives through His Word. Psalm 119 says this, "Your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." And you need to know this as you come to this community and hear our teaching. We will not deviate from the truth of the Word. We will not deviate from it. Nor will we massage its message to allow for our comfort. Because sometimes it's not comfortable. But we will not deviate from the Word. In this house, God's truth stands like a firm foundation stone. So you may be there and thinking, well, what about those areas of the Bible that we see differently? Well, you know, differing opinions on elements of the Bible exist to be sure, and they have over the centuries. You know, our community here is diverse. It's a diverse one, and it comes from a variety of Christian expressions. And I believe that that diversity makes us stronger. Within our community, there is lots of room to learn from one another, to grow, to explore and to discuss areas in which we might hold another biblical perspective. See, we want to be a faith community that learns and moves forward together. And that's best done in an environment of respect and a desire to discover more, and we can do that together. We have a saying here, and it goes like this, we major on the majors, and we don't major on the minors. In other words, despite our diversity, we are drawn together through strong and common beliefs as believers in Christ. Beliefs which are held to be essential to our understanding of who God is and who we are in God, and ultimately to our salvation as believers. For example, we've just been talking about it, but we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He was crucified and He rose from the dead 3 days later, that today He sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. We believe that He sent His Holy Spirit to help us along and that He'll come back and there will be a final judgment. We believe in heaven and we believe in hell. See, these are just some of the essential beliefs that we hold together here in this house that brings us to that place of commonality and unity. And yes, there will be the things that we will wonder about and talk about and discuss in the hallways or over lunch or whatever, just differences, biblical differences. Awesome, let's have those discussions with mutual respect, with a desire to learn from one another. But we agree on the essentials. We agree on the essentials. See, the scriptures, they're deep and they hold solid truths, and they do hold some mystery. So we're committed to exploring them together. And we're committed to holding the scripture highly and strongly here in this house. Let me move on to essential number two. At Living Waters, we hold to the gift of the Holy Spirit for every believer. Jesus said that he would send a comforter, a counselor, his spirit to be among us when he went to heaven to be with his Father. This is what he says in John chapter 14. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and he will remind you of everything that I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. The Holy Spirit is an incredible gift that is given to every single believer. He takes residence in us as soon as we accept Jesus as Savior of our life. And we see that relationship with the Holy Spirit as being essential to our everyday life. It's not like we show up on a Sunday and we meet the Holy Spirit at the door and he jumps in. See, he's been with us all the way along. Living Waters is Pentecostal in belief and practice. And in part, what that means is that we hold to the belief that there is, subsequent to our salvation, a second encounter with the Holy Spirit that is also available to every believer, and it is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the same kind of encounter as experienced by the apostles on the day of Pentecost. It's a second encounter with the Holy Spirit, and one of its prime purposes is to provide us with empowerment for the work that Jesus has called us to complete. And we know it to be true because it is a promise spoken by Jesus himself in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Well, this assignment that Jesus gave us, it was never meant to be undertaken under our own power, because there is no way under our own power that the gospel could ever be spread as it has been spread. In our humanity, we would surely fail at that. But as the experience of the early church has taught us, and as we have seen in subsequent outpourings of his Holy Spirit, amazing things are accomplished when his people walk in his power. Amazing things. And much of what I spoke of last week when I taught on faith finds its potential here. It finds its potential in the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And a part of the power to survive and thrive in our world is given to us by the Holy Spirit in the form of spiritual gifts. Listen, in this community, we absolutely believe that these gifts of the Spirit are as much for today as they were for the early church when they were given, including healing and prophecy and faith. Well, these gifts are spoken of throughout the Gospels, but Paul speaks of them clearly in 1 Corinthians 12. It says this, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." That talks about family to me. "To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." Well, you read something like that, and you can just see how God empowers his church. See, these gifts are for the church, but they are also gifts that will impact those who are around us when they see God at work amongst his people. Now, we understand that the empowering dimension of the Holy Spirit and his gifts for today may be new thoughts for some who are new to our community. And we want you to know that is totally fine. It's totally fine. As I mentioned earlier, our diversity makes us richer. And this is a great place for us to explore and discover the full measure of God's design for us together. And in this house, we always encourage questions. If you have any questions at all about anything that we teach, or specifically here in this context about the Holy Spirit, we encourage you to ask. We provide different opportunities for all of us to learn more and encounter the Holy Spirit in power. In fact, we have a Holy Spirit retreat that will be coming up in October. See, learning together, going deeper into the Word and its application in our lives, it's always going to be an important part of our community here together. We just want to learn together, learn more about God. Let me move on to essential number three. At Living Waters, we hold to life in the body of Christ. Life in the body of Christ. I mentioned it last week, but let me just say it again tonight. We believe that being together is a part of God's foundational design for us, his people. See, from the very beginning, we were made for relationship first with him and then with each other. That's how God designed it to be. That is part of our DNA. That's why we're here. We speak of community often because we believe it is not only good for us, which it is very good for us, but in fact, it is essential. It's essential for our health and the developing of our common purpose as disciples of Jesus. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, Paul, once again, he speaks of our uniqueness, because we are all unique. But he also speaks of this common bond that is amongst us. I love this. Just as our bodies may have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with the body of Christ. We are many parts of one body. And he says, and we all belong to each other. Well, think about that. We all belong to each other. So while our stories are different and we are all uniquely made, there is this common thread that runs through each of us, and that is our faith in Jesus Christ. You know this already, but we're not a club. We're not a social club. We're not kind of a casual collection of participants that show up on a Sunday. Through God's design, actually, we are brothers and sisters. Now, I know that's an easy thing to say, you know, brother this and sister that and whatever, but we're actually in the same family. We are a family. Paul says it well. We belong to each other. We belong to each other. We're family. And in family, we are loved, and we love others. This community is not about denomination. It's not about a set of external bylaws under which we operate. It is, rather, an expression of life. It's an expression of life. It is essentially about us learning how to do life together well. And as with any family, there comes responsibilities, of course. Our role, your role, my role, is to keep this body healthy and vibrant. And not only for our own sakes, but for the sake of those that we are called to reach. Because Christianity, as you know, is often judged by the health or the lack of health of the church. We are to be unified in love. We're to be unified in love. And Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 1 the importance of our harmony together. He says this, let there be no divisions in the church. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. You know, throughout the year coming up, if you are new to us, you will hear me say a number of things. And if you've been here for a while, you will have heard these things from me before. But I think they're important for us. And I say them because they are important for us to protect the life that God has given us here. God has done a unique work here. We have something very special in this community, and we really want to protect it. So, for example, you're going to hear me say tonight and at different points during this year, this community is not a place of personal agendas. We live as best we can to embody the will and the work of Jesus, not of individuals. Church politics have not been, nor will they ever be welcome in this house, ever. Neither are arguments or positioning that is based on personal preference and gain rather than the good of the body at large. And in this house, we first choose to believe the best in one another. We don't jump to conclusions, and we don't jump to early judgments. We believe the best in one another first. And that means that our language is always honoring. Our language with one another is always respectful. It is honest language, and it is encouraging language. Ours is a family that is called to faith, to hope, and to love. And the greatest of these is love. The greatest is love. Luke's going to be talking a little bit more about family in a couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to that as we talk a little bit more about the aspects of doing life together. Let me just move to the last essential here, essential four. At Living Waters, we hold to life lived under grace. We hold to life lived under grace. This is huge for me. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says this, "Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace." You live under the freedom of God's grace. God's grace has powerfully changed the life of every single believer. The unmerited gift of our salvation, that the sheer knowledge that our sin has been forgiven and today is as far away from us as the east is from the west, that is life-changing. It's life-giving. Grace, the grace of God. You know, the impact of grace, it cannot be overstated. And yet, from my observation as a pastor here, it's one of the areas that we struggle with most. We so often battle with the thought that we're not good enough, that somehow we are excluded from God's love and grace. How easily it is for us to forget that forgiven means forgiven. And there is no shortening of the distance between east and west, no matter what we think about ourselves, because God is bigger than we are. See, our grasp of grace is foundational because it defines how we see ourselves. It defines how we see others. It sets our direction forward. We need to know that we are forgiven and we walk under God's grace. And when we do, you know, it just steadies our course and it helps us to withstand all the pressures and the winds, all the external judgments and untruths that are spoken from time to time. We know God's grace is real. That is the truth in our lives. And while the enemy, he lies and he does what he can to bring doubt into our hearts and distance between us and God, our hold to God's grace is what propels us to a closer relationship with Jesus. See, living under grace is what gives us hope. It gives us what is an accurate sense of who we are in Christ. And contrary to some thinking, living under grace keeps us from getting into a deeper mess because ultimately, as we pursue its truth, we discover just how much Jesus loves us. And when we know that here, our tendency to jump back into the mess is less. God's grace allows us to see others differently. And you know what? It creates in us, I think, a sincere desire to share the life and the freedom of the gospel of Jesus with others because we have experienced it. We don't desire to hold it just to ourselves. We want to share that. The extension of our grace to others allows us to see beyond their mess and to the potential of a life lived in freedom. Why would we not want to share that? We hold to a life lived under grace because it is the essence of our salvation. It reminds us of the power of the cross and the depth of love that brought Jesus there to die for you and for me. That's what grace does. In a moment, we're going to be sharing together in the Lord's Supper. This is always a significant moment for us. And I wanted to end what I had to say tonight with communion, because it speaks of family. It speaks of us as we work out our stuff together. And it absolutely speaks of the grace of God in our lives. The grace of God in our lives. So Rob and team, if you want to come and help us through communion. And as the team comes, let me just summarize where we've been tonight. This word has been all about affirming where our foundation is found. And our foundation is not found in the brick and the mortar of this world, but in the truths of God. We recognize as a community that His way is best for us. His foundation provides us with a solid and unfailing trajectory, and because He is rock solid, we know that our faith is well placed. And while there are many elements of God's foundation, we looked at four tonight that best explain our shape and our trajectory. For example, in this house, we hold to the Word of God. In this house, we hold to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In this house, we hold to the deep value of the body of Christ, and we recognize our responsibility to keep it healthy and vibrant. And in this house, we are determined to pursue the truth of a life that is lived under grace. Under grace. For every believer in this house, you know that God has done an amazing work in your life. He's brought you to a place where your sins are past, and you now walk in the present with Jesus, whose grace is sufficient for you. None of us in this room are perfect, and I would be the chief among the imperfect. But we know that God's grace calls us on. We recognize that that grace comes from the very power of the cross of Christ. Because when He went to that cross, everything changed. He took our mess and all of our sin died there. At that point, our sin was cast from us as far as the east is from the west. That's real freedom. That's real freedom. And so, tonight as we gather together around this communion table, we're reminded that we're all in this together. That common bond, that thread, that knowledge of Jesus Christ has changed all of us. We're reminded of the power of the cross and the importance of walking under grace for ourselves and for a world around us that has not yet discovered who Jesus is, but very much needs to know His life and theirs. So our tradition here is communion table is open to anybody who believes in Jesus. You just come, you receive, you can take the cracker and the juice, take it back with you, hold on to it, and then we're going to receive communion together. If you are here in this house and you have not yet made a decision to allow Jesus to be the Lord of your life, that's very cool. We're so glad that you're here. This is about us learning together. learning who Jesus is and how he can work in our lives. I just want you to know that his promise is always right just for you. And that when you decide to make him the foundation of your life, everything changes. Your trajectory in life changes. You go really from hopeless to hopeful. You go from broken to healed. It's a cool place to be. So your desire may be even tonight to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe that's what you're feeling in your heart, and I invite you to do that. You just have to whisper a prayer to God and accept Jesus into your life. Confess your sin to him. Jesus, I've blown it. And I ask you to come and into my life and forgive me. Wash away my sin. Help me to live a life for you. It's all you have to ask. And those simple words change everything. Jesus comes and cleans us up, makes us new, gives us life, and we walk under this incredible grace. How cool is that? So, the band is going to sing. As they do, feel free when you're ready to come and just receive the elements of communion, take them back to your seat, and we'll share them together as his family.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart, you're the one guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness.
Father, as we prepare our hearts to receive this Holy Communion, this special place that you have called us to be, to gather around this table. Lord, would you remind us of your great grace in our lives? Lord, would you remind us of the power of the cross and how today we live in absolute freedom because of this incredible sacrifice. And our desire is to remember the cross well, to remember your work there. And being reminded in that way that we would choose once again tonight to follow you without reserve, knowing that you have given us the greatest gift ever. Ever. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." Let's receive the bread together. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Let's receive the cup together. Just lift your heart and your voice before the Lord and give him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the amazing gift of your life. Incredible grace, oh God. Thank you for hope for tomorrow. Thank you for eternal life with you. It's amazing, God. It's amazing. Would you stand, everybody? Let me pray for you before we say goodnight. I want to just leave you with a benediction tonight out of Ephesians. But can I just take a moment to remind you that you are incredibly loved? That the God of the ages loves you. And he knows everything about you. Everything. He knows the good and he knows the bad. He knows the in-between. He knows everything about you. And his love is way more than you could ever imagine or fathom. So when you leave this house tonight, you know that you leave with the love of God upon you. He cares about every breath that you take. He loves you that much. That's the truth. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters. And may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, everybody. Thanks for coming tonight. And we don't see you before. We'll see you this coming Sunday night. We're going to be talking about framework and values. God bless you, everybody. Have a good week.